Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. We appreciate Abraham Hamilton III being on with us for the last hour. Abe is a constitutional lawyer, which is different than just, well, there's all kind of different kinds of specialties in the field of law, right?
Well, but he was also an assistant prosecutor in both the New Orleans area and the Houston, Texas area.
Right.
So he does have criminal expertise in the criminal field as well as being a constitutional lawyer.
All right, Steve.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. I'm well, thank you. I'm glad that our air quality here isn't New York. My son lives in New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lives in Brooklyn. And I called him yesterday. He answered the phone and said, hello. I said, hey, can I send you two canisters of oxygen? He said, I really need them. So, yeah.
It's really bad up there.
It's bad. It's bad.
Yeah. So your son lives in Brooklyn. Okay.
He does.
Now, we talked about that last hour. How long is this going to last?
Could be weeks. And someone said that the wind could shift and clean up the air and then come back.
Right.
It's all dependent on the weather.
Because these forest fires are still going on, right?
Yeah. It's hard to big forest fires are hard to stop, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know this from your life in California, right?
At Colorado, too.
Colorado.
When I was in Colorado, when I was at Focus, we had a fire that came down. I watched it come down the mountainside, and it consumed a neighborhood called Mountain Shadows. Hundreds of homes burned to the ground. I went in afterwards with Samaritan's Purse. The Billy Graham or Franklin Graham disaster recovery team. I think it's Samaritan's Purse. Anyway, I went in there, and what they did was they went to homeowners. This is just foundations and ashes, and they would get permission to sift through all of the ashes to find things that might have survived the fire, like a wedding ring or something. And then they'd present that back to the homeowner with a Bible and pray with them as a ways of witnessing and serving.
That
was cool. But I mean, tell you, it was tragic. And to watch that fire, come down the mountain, the speed at which it went.
Right.
And you knew that there was nothing standing between it and hundreds of homes.
Did people get trapped in it and die?
No, people were evacuated.
Okay.
Nobody died in Mountain Shadows as a result of the fire. There were a couple deaths the next year. They had another fire in Black Forest, which is a little community north of Colorado Springs, and several people died in that one because
it moves so quickly.
Very quickly, yeah.
And you weren't, by the way, that's very serious, but I just wanted to mention you weren't in our last hour segment, but I also have some experience with fire.
Do you?
So let me tell you about this burn pile I have.
Oh, you have a burn pile.
No, we don't need to go through that again.
Hey, can I give a shout out to the University of Oklahoma Sooner?
Shout it, Steve. Go ahead.
Softball team. The Oklahoma OU softball team is in its third consecutive World Series. It is the two-time defending champion. And they are on a 51-game win streak.
Wow.
Yes. I watched that game last night.
Did you watch the game last night?
Yeah. What you got going? Let me just say this. If you want to watch something that's very entertaining sports-wise that you maybe don't normally watch, I suggest women's college softball.
Yeah,
that is fun.
They're in Oklahoma City, which is annually where they have what they call the College World Series.
Right.
And the University of Oklahoma, which has been the dominant powerhouse in softball for a long time now, they're playing against Florida State University.
Right.
And in a three game
best of three, right?
Best of three series. And last night, Oklahoma won the first game, and they'll play game two
tonight, and the three if necessary. Well, they were having a press conference after the game last night.
Yeah,
And one of the things that they had said is that the reason they enjoy a 51-game win streak, they just have joy in playing.
Yeah.
And so an ESPN reporter asked about the joy that they have, and I don't think he expected this answer. Cut 11.
How do you keep the joy for so long when anxiety seems like a thing that could very easily set in?
Well, the only way that you can have a joy that doesn't fade away is from the Lord. And any other type of joy is actually happiness that comes from circumstances and outcomes. And I think Coach has said this before, but joy from the Lord is really the only thing that can keep you motivated, just in a good mindset, no matter the outcomes.
My freshman year, I was so happy to win the college. I've talked about this before, but I was just so happy that we won the College World Series, but I didn't feel joy. I didn't know what to do the next day. I didn't know what to do for that following week. I didn't feel filled, and I had to find Christ in that. And I think that is what makes our team so strong, is that we're not afraid to lose, because if it's not the end of the world if we do lose. Yes, obviously we've worked our butts off to be here and we want to win, but it's not the end of the world, because our life is in Christ, and that's all that matters.
Who is that talking?
These are two of the softball players, and I wasn't able to grab their names off the but they're two of the softball team. Apparently the whole team, headed by the coach, has found faith in Christ, a large majority of them.
And wow. You're right. I'm sure the ESPN reporter didn't probably expect that. I will say this. Women's softball is a fun sport to play. To watch.
I was going to say.
Well,
Is there something we need to know about?
Is there something about you we don't know, Ed?
I'm thinking about going out for the team, because I got to say, I have played softball at a very high level.
Yes.
In the past.
Yeah, church league.
Yeah, church. And AFA had a team.
Yeah.
That
didn't last.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. But anyway, no, it's fun to watch. It really is a very fun sport.
Yeah.
Last night there was a girl for Florida State. It was like in the last inning, and she jumped and went over the outfielder. She was the outfielder. She went over the fence with her like top half of her arm, and like robbed this Oklahoma girl of a home run. It was a phenomenal play. But anyway, the action's fast, and it is a lot of fun to watch.
Yep.
They play tonight. For game two, that was good to hear from those young ladies right there, because you know what, that's the proper perspective on,
yes,
really on life. They were talking about sports, but whether you have a good day or a bad day, whether you win or lose, those things are going to happen, right? But it's really the higher calling that matters.
Right.
Am I expressing myself?
No, absolutely. That's what they just shared. If people hear that, people who were watching the game and were watching the interview afterwards, that could be life-changing for people. Because there are people out there who are succeeding, and, of course, people who aren't. But both of those groups need to have something more in their life. And as they shared, that something is actually a someone.
Were those quotes from those players on Oklahoma's team, was that aired, was that a taped interview that they played, or was that?
That was the news conference after the game, where they sit at the table, the coach.
Okay.
Press X shoots questions at him.
All right. Well, good for them.
Interesting what you were talking about, the good catch. I don't know if you read this, but there is a, I don't know if they're in the, the playoffs for the College Baseball World Series. And one of the schools is Indiana State. And they had a player who, his name was Adam Pottinger. And in one game, he made one of those leaping catches to rob somebody of a home run, right? Oh, and everybody. And so the next game, another hit right out there. He jumps, leaps, comes down, and he's clutching the ball, and he's walking in, and the guy's running around to first base, and he starts walking back to the dugout before he kind of gets a grin and opens his glove to see he didn't have the ball.
Yeah, it was a home run. Fooled everybody.
Well, have a little fun in baseball. There's no fun in
there's no crying
in baseball.
No crying in baseball.
Right. Hey, woke, go broke, as the saying goes. Did you hear that Disney is laying off about 7,000 jobs, including 75 positions at Pixar, and they are blaming the new woke version of Bud Lightyear?
that was yours.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that, sure enough? Bud Lightyear?
Yeah, I think it was a malapropism at first, but it stuck. the Buzz Lightyear, this is the one where they replaced Tim Allen.
Yeah, they replaced him. He was the voice of the original right. Buzz Lightyear in the Toy Story movies.
Well, it cost $200 million to make, and they barely cleared it, $26 million they made off that. That's like nothing.
Yeah.
It's couch change for them.
Well, it really is not considered a success if you're that close
right.
to the. There's probably some ancillary costs that eat that up. Usually the budget includes advertising and.
Well, they didn't. The movie did not do well, and I think we can add that to Bud Light, to Target, to all these other companies that are deciding to go woke somehow. And I think the public is now starting to say they're finding a collective voice. You know, nobody thinks they can do anything. If the one beer drinker says, "Well, I'm not going to buy Bud Light," who's going to notice?
Right.
But as it gains momentum, as people stop buying stuff from Target, people say, "Oh yeah, I can join that. I can do that." And it has had a huge effect on their bottom line.
Well, and here's the problem, like for a company like Target, okay? We're in difficult economic. This adds to the kind of perfect storm that they're experiencing. We're kind of having a lot of economic problems. People are looking for ways to cut expenses because everything's gone up. And so people go, okay, Target is, one step up on cost. I'm going to go the lower cost route. And that's also costing Target money because people are saying, all right, I'm angry at Target, and you know what? Since we're trying to cut costs, we're going to go down to store A, B, and C and shop there instead of Target. So that's piling a misery on top of misery.
If they can possibly find a Dollar General in the area.
Yes, if they can. I'm guessing they probably can.
Probably can. Yep. In the South, anyway.
Yep.
Can we talk about language and the importance of words and definitions? And there's a saying that says whoever wins the language war wins the battle.
Right.
Language battle wins the war.
I think you got to win
war.
A battle before you win a
right.
war.
Whoever wins the the language battle wins the war. In other words, if you can define
the
terms.
Now you're on track.
Thank
right
you.
There.
The so-called Bible of journalism of news is the AP, Associated Press Style Book. That's where you go to find out what the common, how you're supposed to write, like, do you say PM? Is there a period after the P and the M? Or,
right.
You know, all that kind of detail stuff. But it also has stuff about, like, word usage. And they have just come out with a new notification that they want to use. They're starting to use the commonly culturally accepted transgender terms. So this is what they're saying. Let me just read you a couple examples. The AP style book says now says, avoid false balance, giving a platform to unqualified claims or sources in the guise of balancing a story, including all views. For instance, don't quote people speaking about biology or athletic regulations unless they have the proper background. If you want to say, no, biology says that you're born a man or a woman, they can ask you, are you a biologist? And if you say no, AP says, well, we don't have to quote you. You don't know what you're talking about. And they want journalists to use the term sex assigned at birth. They don't want you to use biological sex, birth gender, or anything. It's a sex assigned at birth. This one particularly galls me. The word identify is frequently used to describe how someone views themselves and can be useful when writing about an issue of identity. However, often just use the word is a woman. It's a little simpler and cleaner.
So, Bruce Jenner
is a woman.
Is a woman, not identifies as a woman.
Exactly.
Oh, listen, the AP style guide or style book is, as you said, it's the Bible of journalists and journalism, and it is extremely influential. And part of the problem with this is not just that people will continue to read stories that contain what the transgender movement wants the stories to contain, but it is going to put tremendous pressure on Christians who are journalists, who write for newspapers, write for magazines, write on websites, and they're going to be told their writing has to conform to that. That's going to continue to put a lot of pressure on Christians and people who just don't buy into this garbage.
It's difficult. If you read in the New York Times, the Washington Post, or your local newspaper that so-and-so is a woman, and you know that they're not, but you read it 100 times,
right?
And then the fact, the assertion starts popping up in your mind that whoever claims to be a woman because of transgenderism is a woman. If you say a lie a bunch of times, it becomes the truth as perceived.
Yeah, and people begin to believe it. That's what propaganda is.
Yeah.
And that's why the book 1984 by George Orwell, which looked at a futuristic kind of dystopia, that's why Big Brother, the government, used language to continue to influence the people to accept Big Brother's view on everything.
You want a good case of the heebie-jeebies? Reread that book right now.
Yes, that's right. We're living 1984. It came a little later than expected, but it is here.
Yeah, heebie-jeebies, they had some hits in the late 70s.
It did. Yes.
Staying Alive, Staying
Alive.
They,
the disco movement.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. All right, next story, Steve.
All right.
You got any more stories? We got 7 minutes to go.
I got two
here.
More. I hope we can stretch this out to two more stories, or others.
Well, we can. Ed and I.
And I do have another story if it's not one of yours.
That's one of mine, actually, the Newsom one?
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Y'all do a news story combo right there where you say, Ed, back to you, Steve. Steve says, back to you, Ed.
All right.
Back
well, let's you. Try that.
And I'll be the weatherman.
There's a.
Y'all come to me in a few minutes, okay?
There's a Marine. Her name is Lance Corporal Catherine Arnett, and she is a devout Catholic. And on religious grounds, refused any of the COVID vaccines. And they put her in the brig and threatened to court-martial her and everything. Well, they are dropping the charges in return for discharging her. I don't know if it's an honorable discharge. Probably not. They found a way to charge her with refusing to board a plane of some sort. But anyway, she is out. She wanted to become a drill sergeant, but she won't. And so the revenge of the COVID vaccine exists in the military.
Yeah, that kind of thing, it not only happened in the military, it did happen in the military, and a lot of good people were forced out of the military. It also kept, I think, a lot of people from wanting to join up, which is why they're having severe recruitment issues in all the branches of the military. But it also happened across the board with healthcare workers and, teachers and so on.
Yeah, guys, it was all worth it because the vaccine stopped the spread of COVID.
Did, right?
Not only flattened the curve, it stopped it in stopped its tracks.
It stopped it. Remember we were told that?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
It's interesting that there's another layer, though, of confusion or of something to think about when you're in the military, because you are refusing an order. Now, you're not to obey illegal orders.
Right.
If someone tells you to do a war crime, like kill a prisoner or something, you can refuse to do that. But saying take a vaccine, the jury's out, literally, I guess, on whether that's an illegal order. So even
I don't think the jury's out. I think that's been – excuse me for interrupting.
No,
I'm not trying to sound like a
smarty. Go, weatherman.
Well, okay. I will get to the weather in a moment. First of all, I'd like to weigh in on constitutional historical issues. I have nothing to do with the weather. I think the military have had to get vaccines forever.
Right.
So I don't think there's any argument there.
I
don't think that's in a gray area.
Well,
am I right?
No, they've had to get vaccines.
You sign up for the military, you're no longer your own in almost any respect. Right. Right.
There always has been religious exemptions, though. Right?
I don't know. No, there are on certain issues.
Okay. You can get a religious exemption for a communicable disease vaccine?
Well, they couldn't. A lot of them in the military wanted one, asked for one, and I don't know any cases in which they were granted a religious exemption for the COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
All right, Ed, over to you.
Okay. All right. Well, I did want to mention the fact, and this is the lead story on Fox, California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom wants to change the Constitution to curb gun rights. He has proposed a 28th Amendment to the Constitution. He proposed that today, I think, or is in the process of whatever. And here's what I want to say about this. Now, let me just say, he wants to, it would not overturn the Second Amendment, but it would issue severe restrictions for gun ownership. And here's what this proposed 28th Amendment would do. It would raise the federal minimum age to purchase a firearm from 18 to 21. It would mandate universal background checks to purchase firearms. It would institute a waiting period for all gun purchases and ban quote-unquote assault weapons, however they would define that.
Well, they'd have to.
Well,
first of all, you don't put quote-unquote in the Constitution that have any. But right. This is the problem, though.
No, there's plenty of problems with this. And here's the thing I wanted to say. This is the kind of thing that has made me all along say, if a Democrat or a liberal proposes what they always say, common sense gun restrictions, I always say no. That's my knee-jerk reaction because I don't trust them. I don't trust them on the left. Their ultimate goal is to take guns away. And this is further proof that that's what they want to do.
And this goes back to my point I made about an hour ago or half an hour ago, whenever it was. Here you have a governor of a blue state, and he wants to mandate California's position to everybody in America, every red state. See that? Because they know better.
Right.
You know, on everything. Instead of saying, you know what, in California we're doing this, but in Nevada or Mississippi or Georgia, if they want to do something different, they have the right through their own state legislatures to deal with these issues. Next question. No, I, the governor of California, am hereby saying that I want to mandate my whole position on Second Amendment, which basically he wants to get rid of it, for all of America. Now, it wouldn't have surprised me had Gavin Newsom come out and said, listen, I think Brill Cream needs to be available all over America for free because, it's an important part of many Americans' lives like me.
Right.
That wouldn't have surprised me at all. So
I personally think this is a step that Gavin Newsom is taking because I think he's laying the groundwork for some sort of presidential run, whether it's this time around next time.
I think you just bingoed.
This is part of his leftist, team club card.
Watch and see. This could happen. I think there's a 10% to 20% chance that this could happen where Biden says, I'm not going to run again. My wife's talked me out of it or whatever. I want to enjoy the rest of my life. I don't need to, I'm not going to, we've done a lot here. Then the Democrats write Vice President Harris a big fat check for $10 or $20 million and say, go have a good life.
Right.
And then Gavin Newsom is the candidate on the Democrat side to run for president. Now, he's the governor of California. That is a big state, but it's been a disaster, and he is a far lefty.
Yeah.
But
I don't see how he could win.
But he's fairly well-spoken. He's telegenic. He's young. And that would be a better face to the Democrat Party than having Biden or Harris run.
Yeah.
So, that sounds far-fetched, but, hey, every
nothing's far-fetched in 2023.
I know. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.